Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Morning, church. Please be seated and welcome to Church of the Savior. If you are new, my name is Daniel, and we are on our series on the parables, all right? But before I do that, this morning, just a couple of quick announcements. Some of you may be aware that, you know, there's this legislation about gambling, online gambling that's going on, and there is a petition that's actually going around. Some of you may have already heard about. How many of you don't know about this? Okay, at least there are one or two people who don't know. You may want to find out about it. Actually, the legislation was passed in 2014. I think many people don't realize this. Because, you know, a lot of things happen in government. Only when it catch fire, then we all notice. Actually, it's been passed in 2014. But I think the petition really is a way of telling the government that, you know, the citizens are concerned. Okay? So you may want to do that. The bishop is actually negotiating. Our bishop, the Anglican bishop, also happens to be president of the National Council of Churches this year. And so they are in negotiation with the government on this matter. So keep this in prayer. You know, if you want to sign the petition, please go ahead and sign it. You know, but do bear in mind that this is an ongoing battle, all right? And not everything we can win by petition, but, you know, if it needs be, then we use a petition. The other thing I want to quickly mention was the previous Friday, right, we had a leaders meeting, and I casually mentioned that there's this Nigerian pastor, TB Joshua, offered to come to speak in Church of our Savior, and I actually turned him down. And then people started speculating who offered that. Actually, it was their office who called me. Okay, so it wasn't one of our church members. And some people started speculating on which of our church members this. It's none of our church members, okay, just so you know. Okay, we don't want to speculate about that. So with that, let's get into the parables of the kingdom, alright? And today, before we do today, revision time, okay? We had two groups of parables previously, alright? And I hope you remember, one group was the in and out of the kingdom of God. Remember the sheep or the goat, you know, there's this division in the kingdom of God. And then secondly, we talk about the counting of the cost. Remember the hidden treasure, right? The thing that causes us to do crazy things. I mean, the pearl of great price causes the man to sell all that he has. And this is a picture for us that we are supposed to have found this great treasure that propels us to do incredible things and sometimes even crazy things in the eyes of the world. So that was what we've sort of covered in the first batch. Today we're going to look at three parables. We'll begin with one group. And the first group is what I call the parable, well, the kingdom grows, okay? The kingdom that grows. And this actually is the two parables known as the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. Parable of mustard seed can be found in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. All these are very short parables. One verse, two verse, all right? Two verses. And of course, it is repeated again in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. Very slightly different in the details. And the parable of leaven is found in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. So we're going to read this one real quick. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, 32. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, remember these are kingdom parables, right? So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Everyone say mustard seed. I think most of us haven't seen a mustard seed before because it's very small, right? So it says, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. All right? The mustard seed is very small. And it's really, you know, I mean, it's like a bit, a friend of mine, you know, had a sample of a mustard seed. And he never takes it out of a bottle because, you know, in case somebody sneezes, there goes his mustard seed, right? But you can imagine, you just plant what is just almost one little dot. And that, according to this Bible, it grows to become bigger than the herbs and becomes a tree, right? And this tree provides shelter for the birds of the air, okay? So we're going to read the next one real quick. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, in other words, flour, which till it was all leaven. Now, those of you who bake, I don't bake, okay? But this is actually yeast. Yeast that causes bread to rise, you know? If you don't put yeast, my understanding is, I'm not speaking this from experience because I don't bake, but you don't put yeast, what happens to your bread? It collapses, right? you collapse into it. You bake cake, it's the same thing. So you need the yeast. Basically what the yeast does is it creates this carbon dioxide bubbles that cause the whole thing to rise up. Now, this is what it's talking about, right? Just a little bit of something within the flour that causes flour or flour, depending on, you know, how you pronounce it, it causes the whole thing to rise. But it does this imperceptibly. Now, when you look at these two, there's some similarities between these two parables. And actually, also some similarity with the parable on the wheat and the tares that we covered previously about 2 weeks ago. And the similarities are, it involves sowing or seed, it involves growth, it involves harvest and ripening and agriculture, right? So these themes Jesus like. In fact, he uses these agricultural themes frequently. In John chapter 4 verse 35, he talks about the field that's white on the harvest, right? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So he likes these themes, and here again, he's using the same theme, and these are all presented in one group, right? In one whole group. Now, what does this parable mean? Alright? First of all, the parable of the tree appears several times in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you are careful in your reading. In the book of Judges, there's a parable of a tree called the parable of the Atad tree. And then, not Atad tree, Atad seed. It says a tree called the Atad, okay? And then, you know, in Ezekiel and in Daniel, there are also trees. But usually, these trees are not good. They are pictures of prideful men. Men who grow big, and then eventually all these trees get chopped down. Okay? So that's in the Old Testament. But here we are told that this is not about prideful men, this is a parable of the kingdom. Because this seed and eventually this tree is a picture of the kingdom of God. So what's the first thing? It begins very small. Both the mustard seed. Now, of course, when Jesus says it's smaller than any other seed, he's not making a scientific statement. Okay? I hope you understand this. He's making a parabolic statement. It is a hyperbolic statement, if you like. It is a metaphor. Okay? When you tell stories, you're not particularly worried about he was the tallest man in the whole world. Then you ask, but Guinness Book of World Records says that no, it's not being factual. Okay, it is a parable. So Jesus says this starts very small. Leaven is also very small. In fact, it's so small, once you walk in, you can't see it. You don't know where it is. Once you put that seed in the soil, you almost cannot see where the soil is, right? Now, I don't know how many of you have, back in school, have had this experiment your teachers asked you to do. You go home and you buy this, Tauge seed, what do you call that? Green bean, You put it in cotton, then you put some water, and then, you know, dutifully as students, every week, you know, every day you draw a little bit how it goes. Have you done this before? I think we have the same teacher, right? So, we have all done this. And, you know, as a kid, you remember watching it, waiting for the thing to grow, right? Now, I have to say that, you know, this bean sprouts, they grow very fast. Within, I guess, a week or so, you can already see the development, right? But not everything grows this fast. So the kingdom of God, sometimes you look around, you almost see no growth. Every day you go back to check, it's like almost no development. But in fact, it is growing, right? And of course, your bean sprout is not like a mustard seed. Your bean sprout only grow to be this big, right? But the mustard seed, it will grow into a great big herb. And then from there, it becomes a tree. What is this seed? Okay, we understand the parable. I think we generally know the flow of it. But what is this seed? Well, because Matthew has put all these parables together, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the leaven, because he's put all this together, and then later on there was an explanation for the parable of wheat and tares, we understand that this seed is actually the seed of faith that is sown in the soil of your hearts. Okay? This is the seed of faith. Jesus often used this in this way. The seed of faith that's sown in your heart. The soil of your heart is this seed that's supposed to grow. It'll grow bigger and bigger and bigger. But sometimes it doesn't grow. According to another parable, Jesus says, sometimes while it's growing a little bit, then afterwards, hot sun come down. Dry up the soil, right? Another time it was trying to grow, it got choked by a lot of things. By your boss giving you more work, right? By all the cares of the world, by your families, by your debts, by all your concerns and anxiety. And because of all these concerns and anxieties, you stop tending to the seed, you go and run elsewhere, and then what happens to the seed? It dies. Okay? So this is the picture. It grows, it's supposed to grow. Today, the seed of faith in your heart, I wonder if you can look, open up a bit, and check on your tauge, and see what is the state. Because you know, now although the bean sprout, I must be careful to use English, okay. Even though the bean sprout is very simple, you still need to do a few things, right? What must you do? must put water lah, right? If you don't give it sunlight, your tauge will grow, your bean sprout will grow up yellow color, right? Instead of green color. You have to do all these things to make sure that this thing grows. Am I right? Right? This is not rocket science. You don't have to be a botanist to understand this simple thing, right? Same thing for yourself spiritually. If you don't give it the correct conditions, your seed is going to come out something very strange. Okay? It won't look like what God intended it to be. Okay? So this seed is the seed of faith that God has sown in your hearts and it grows. And then comes the third part. Okay? The third part is where it gets a little bit more interesting. Because other than this third part, it's actually quite similar to the parable of the wheat and the tares. Quite similar except for, no, right? The farmer sows it, in the night it grows, and then suddenly you have this harvest. Okay? But in this case, the ending is a little bit peculiar, alright? It says that this seed actually goes into a tree. Now, if you look at the parallel in Mark chapter 4 and verse 32, you find that it actually has a more interesting description, some extra details. In Mark chapter 4 verse 32, this is what it says, right? Let me read 31. It is like a mustard seed which is sown in the ground. It's smaller than all the other seeds of the earth. Verse 32. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches. That's what Mark chapter 4 verse 32. In Matthew it says it becomes a tree, right? But in Mark it tells us what this means. It means that there are branches that shoot out from this, you know, these branches reach out all the way. And these branches now, because it's all over the place, it provides shelter for the birds in the air, right? Now, can you imagine for a while, let's say your hands are branches, okay? Right? You're sitting here this morning, some exercise, okay? Prevent your hands are branches. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but imagine if you shoot out, what will happen? What will happen if you shoot out your hands? You're going to touch somebody, lah. You know, somebody sitting next to you, unless you are like sitting all by yourself and your hands are very short, nah? You cannot reach anybody, right? But if you reach out, you'll almost certainly touch somebody. And I think that's the whole point of this, right? The kingdom of God is supposed to be this relationship that we have with God that results in us shooting out. This is supposed to happen, right? The church, in other words, this is the picture of the kingdom of God, is supposed to be this church that grows out. And as you grow, branches will shoot out from your left to your right to your front and back. And as you reach out, you're going to touch the lives of other people. This is the purpose of the kingdom of God. So in this parable, there's a unique description, not just of the ending, not just of the destiny, but of the purpose of the kingdom of God. The purpose of the kingdom of God, namely, is not just to exist for our own sake, but to reach out and to touch other people. Amen? So how do you touch other people? With the love of God. You reach out and you touch other people with the love of God. This is what it is. This tree is this reaching out, okay? I almost want to ask all of you to reach out and touch somebody, but I think maybe not very appropriate, okay? This is the seed, okay? This is the unique description about touching people's lives. And touching people's lives are in fact, so important. You know, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, right? Jesus came, and in Luke, actually, there's this description of what Jesus explained to the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" Okay, this is Jesus, the Lord of our church. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I've come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." So, our Lord came to look out for these people that he can touch with the love of God. People who need the love of God. And there are people like this all around us all the time. Every day in your life, there's someone out there who needs a touch from God, right? Who needs a touch from you on behalf of God so that their lives can be changed. This is supposed to be the church, right? But in reality, this is not the case. In reality, the church is more like, you know what's a bonsai or not? You know bonsai, huh? This small plant, is very cute. It looks like a tree. You have seen one, right? You have seen one. My mom used to keep some bonsai, right? And this is very peculiar. You go near, it looks like a tree. It's got, you know, leaves, it's got branches and all that. But it's all very small, okay? Now, if you are a bonsai, I can tell you, the bird will not take shelter under you. Actually, the bird might eat you, okay? Because you're so small. It looks very pretty. It's very cute. Sometimes the church is not about, our branches go up very short only, like this only, right? Just like this only. You cannot touch a lot of people. This is the problem. Sometimes the church is, we are not reaching out because we are very inward looking. We think about, how can I be blessed? How can God do something for my life? And we forget that the kingdom of God that God wants us to be is not just for our own sake. In fact, when God says to Abraham, right, that in Genesis, when he promised to him, says, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the purpose of us coming together as the church is not just for ourselves, it's so that you can reach out your branches. And as you reach out your branches, you will touch somebody in your life. Now, let's be honest about it. It's not easy to find this love to touch somebody in our life. Because we are living very busy lives in Singapore. You know, back in Malaysia, my dad, when I was in school, my dad used to come back at 4:30. I remember this very well. Because whatever mischief I'd be up to, I must be done by 4:30. Otherwise, come back, I'll be in trouble, right? So my timing is very precise. To this day, my timing is also very accurate. I'm always on time, right? Because back in those days, I was trained by my dad. So, you know, I remember that my dad would come back 4:30. I also don't know why he can come back at 4:30. Maybe those days they didn't do 9 to 5. But he'll come back and then, you know, he'll take a shower and he'll take a nap and then we have dinner. And after dinner, right, we will go and visit friends. We'll go to people's house, you know, and I'll know all my parents' friends' children because we'll visit them, right? But Singapore is so different. Singapore, you come back from work 7:30, 8 o'clock. Maybe you grab a fast dinner. You come back. Sometimes you don't even bathe. You fall asleep already, right? And people say, I want to come visit you. Please, please, please don't come visit. I'm very tired. Right? We are very, that's why I say, Singapore, sometimes our church is more like bonsai. It's not reaching out because why? We are living in such a pressure cooker of a life that we have hardly anything to give. I already got so little time. Please don't, except for Friday. Friday got sale, right? So no choice. So that one you already give up already. Friday I already visit people. Now, it's quite difficult for us. Now, not only is it difficult to do this, on top of that, loving people, in fact, Jesus says, don't just love those who love you. Go and love your enemies, right? Because he says, what good is it if you love those who love you? Even the enemies know how to do that. They also know how to do good to those who do good to them. You, go and love those who can do nothing for you. Those people cannot return your good deeds, right? Now, can you just imagine how hard it is to do? In reality, right? You go up in your office, somebody look at you, besong, right? And they slap you. And then you remember, oh, Jesus says what? If someone slaps you on one cheek, what do? Then you, right? You offer the other cheek, right? Reluctantly, no doubt, right? It's like, oh, can't call. But Jesus said it, okay. Wow, you actually whack me a second time, right? And you, the Bible never say after second time, what do you do, right? So you improvise, third time I'll slap you back, right? It's difficult. It really is difficult to love. I mean, you agree or not? It's quite difficult to be God's agent of love to the world. Because the world is such a hard place. Right? So for many of us, we are actually very difficult. But yet, the reality is that there are many people out there, however unpleasant they are actually desperately in need of the love and the touch of God. Somebody has to touch them. You know, my heart was broken this week when I read the news about the primary 4 boy who committed suicide. I don't know if you read the news or not, right? And he failed 2 subjects. And the mother said, I only want 70 marks. I don't know why you want those marks. I suppose there's a good reason. I'm sure the parents meant well. I'm sure they did. But you're looking at a world that's so dry, that's so parched, that things like this can cause people to take their life. And then I went on to read the blog of another RGS girl by the name of Tiffany. She also committed suicide. And as I read the blog, it's so sad. Because in the blog, she writes something like this, you know. I've decided that I'm not going to make it through this year. She actually wrote in a public place for everybody to see. I'm not going to make it through this year. You know, I don't even know what I'm doing for all this. Write all these things before she died. Right? And then all the comments are something like, dear Tiffany, I hope you're in a better place now. I'm sorry I came too late. You know, I felt that, I wish I could have had a chance to say something to her. But the fact of the matter is, she's gone. But you know what? She actually wrote this out in a blog. The whole world can read the blog. It was a cry for help that went unheard and unheeded in the world that we live in. This world needs somebody to reach out and touch them. You understand? Although this is a simple parable, but the truth of the parable is of such great gravity. You know, it's not hard to change the world. Sometimes, just one word, one touch can change some people's life. You can turn somebody back from the brink with just a small act. But sometimes we don't do it because we are too busy. We are just like those people cross on the other side of the road, lah, where the Good Samaritan, where the you know, on the road to Jericho, right? We cross on the other side because we are living in such scarcity of time, such scarcity of resources, and might I say, such scarcity of love in our hearts. That's why the church is supposed to be this great big mustard tree that reaches out, that provides shelter for other people, but in reality, we are only a bonsai. Right? So, can you turn to your neighbor and say, "And please don't be a bonsai." Right? Okay? So this is, I mean, I don't know about you, I really felt very sad and quite affected by the whole thing, thinking that, what else can I do? But I only have two hands. But together, collectively, right? 3,000 of us have 6,000 hands. Hopefully, all of you got two hands, right? Some of you have more. So, you know, all of us, if we all look beyond ourselves and think about the kingdom of God, right? Where God has put you, where God has planted you, first of all, you must grow. Your own seed of faith must grow, right? But once it has grown, you look around. And if all of you were just to reach out, I don't know who it is that God has put in your field, in your particular garden. But if you reach out, you will provide shelter for them. You will provide, you will be extending the branch of God's love and rest for a needy world. Amen? You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? So, of course, after we agree on all this, the big question is how? So, you know, after Jesus tells us this, okay, how? Where are we going to get this supernatural love from, given that it's so difficult? We ourselves already are in such a scarce situation. Where are we going to get this supernatural love from? Okay, we leave that question until later. Next parable. The next group of parables is this one, one parable. You all know it very well. It is the parable of the 10 virgins, right? So we're going to read that real quick, and actually I'm going to read it from my side because on the screen there's only a part of it, right? Matthew chapter 25. So you should bring your Bibles and read this yourself. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels, in their lamp. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Okay, first part of it goes, you know, you all know this story really well, right? 10 virgins out there, they're all waiting for the groom so that they can go into the wedding together with the groom, right? This is what was happening. And all of them were doing the same thing. All of them got tired, nothing wrong with that. And 5 of them brought extra oil. 5 of them didn't, okay? So what happened was, when they sleep, normally this oil, they'll turn it down. It's like a dimmer in some of your house. You know, at night, you don't want the lights to be very bright, so you dim down the lights, right? Some of you, no dimmer, you off the lights. But for this oil lamp, you can't just off and on, so you turn it down until it burns a very small lamp. So they go to sleep. Now, the Bible says that at midnight, verse 6, at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." So midnight, they all woke up. What time is it? Midnight. Everyone say midnight. Normally, what are you doing at midnight? Sleeping. I also don't know why this groom probably come from different time zone, you know, taking one of those economy flights. So he arrived late, and these people woke up at midnight. Now, when they woke up, the Bible says in verse 7, all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So they started adjusting their lamp, right? So they pick up, they turn on the lamp brighter, so that now they are going outside, right? Turn a bit brighter. It was at this time, when they're turning the lamp brighter, trimming their lamps, right? They suddenly realize, oh, it's looks like going to run out of oil, right? So they turn to the wise and say, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Okay? So they went to buy. Let me ask you again, what time is it? Midnight. Those days, go and find where? 7-Eleven. There are no overnight shops. We are talking about, you know, those days, midnight people sleep. This is normal, right? Singapore is not normal, right? Midnight, there are still all kinds of things happening. Normally, nighttime is supposed to be for resting and sleeping, correct? But, you know, they say, go and buy. Where are they going to buy? I'm just thinking about this. Where on earth are you going to buy? You run the shops, all the shops are closed already. You're waking up people, right? So, the Bible doesn't tell us that they actually succeeded in buying, right? But, as all good stories go, just when they were going, and while they are away, what happened? The groom chose to arrive at that exact moment, right? This is how all the stories go, like, right? So, you know, otherwise there's no interest in the story. Okay, so they arrive, Later on, of course, you know, the five came back and they started knocking on the door. Lord, please let us in. Very dark and very cold out here, right? And then the Lord says, you know, assuredly I say, I do not know you. Go away. It's so dark out there, I can't even see your face, right? Who are you? Go away. Okay, so we know this story very well because the moral of the story is given for us in Matthew chapter 25 verse 13. It says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Okay? So the basic idea is this. Since you don't know when the Master is coming, and like all weddings, they always come late, right? You just don't know how long. Now, the five wise virgins, they sort of anticipated this, okay? And they knew that this could be potentially a long one. The five one probably thought, yeah, carry extra oil, very mafan, right? Very troublesome, very inconvenient, all this extra oil. Why don't I just go with this? Okay, let's take a gamble. Maybe this is going to be enough, okay? So, as the day drew longer and longer and longer, they started to get more and more worried. Because at first you thought it would be a short. Now, many Christians are like this. They are in it for a short run. They hope that Jesus will come back next week. I know many people will tell me this, especially around exam time, you know, when you're supposed to submit your project report and all that. I hope Jesus come back soon, right? Correct? So that you can escape all these things. But you know what? That's not being very wise, okay? Because you don't have the fuel for the long run. Some of you who drive cars, you know that you have this meter in your car, right? That tells you how much fuel you have left, right? What do you call this thing anyway? Fuel indicator? Does it have a name? Fuel gauge. You have a fuel gauge, alright? And you know as you drive, you know, when your fuel gauge is full, you drive happily, you know, you don't care how far you have to go, right? As it goes down less and less, you start to be a bit more careful about how far you drive. At some point, actually a light will come on. Have you ever seen that light come on? Those of you who drive, you may have actually seen the light come on. Maybe because you are very busy, no time to pump petrol or whatever. You know, urgent things keeping you all around. Or you have to send people that you didn't expect. Suddenly the light comes on. Let me ask you, what does that light mean? What does that light mean? Low fuel, right? But can your car still run? Can still run. Another 10, 20 kilometers, maybe it can still run properly. In fact, the car will not even slow down. It will run as per normal until suddenly, one point, boom, stop, right? You know, many Christians are just like this. You know, they keep going. You know, at some point, years ago, you met Jesus, right? You were so full. Your tank was filled up to maximum, right? Full and beyond. And you couldn't help it. Everywhere you came, you were sharing the gospel, sharing the testimony. You can't stop inviting people to meet Jesus, to come and see what you have tasted. You were so full of joy, and then, you know, you come to church, you want to serve in three ministries if you can, four if possible. You know, you were like trying to be, you were just overflowing, right? But over the years, what happened? Okay lah, fuel tank start to go down a little bit, right? Go down. Then now, I already serve one ministry, right? And I'm loving one or to these people, very difficult one, you gotta understand. Self people, not easy to love, okay? So, you know, you're doing that. And then as you go, your tank is running down, lower, you're getting a bit anxious. Right? Getting a bit, at some point, maybe even the warning light come on. But you still keep going. So, okay, never mind, I've been doing this all these years. Maybe I'll just keep going. You keep going, you keep going, right? At some point, you start running out. You know what? You know how you know what, when you're running out, right? It's when someone comes to you and say, hey, can you help me this? You're like, what? Right? You know why? You know, when you have only 2 drops of water left in your Tupperware, right, in the desert, 2 drops of water left, and then someone comes to you and says, can I just have 1 drop of water? Cannot. Very difficult, right? Actually, both of you are going to die anyway. 2 drops of water won't save you, right? But 1 drop of water to give because you only have one. You know, you're operating out of scarcity. You don't have enough. So it's very difficult to love people. But imagine if there's a spring of water in you, gushing. People ask, can I have 1 drop of water? 1 drop, yeah. Take a whole gallon, actually take a whole tank. Because you got so much coming out from you, right? You know what? It's the answer. This whole parable makes us ask this question. We understand we need to prepare oil. But the question is, where do you get this oil from? Where are you going to get this oil from, right? We understand the parable. Jesus is saying that, you know, this is, you're in this for the long run. You need oil to keep you going for the long run. It's not just for a short term thing, right? Don't just think about when Jesus, you must be continually prepared. How are you going to do this? Okay? These two questions, very similar. Early on, I asked a question, you know, where are you going to get this supernatural love from? How are you going to, you know, have enough strength to reach and touch so many people, right? Certainly not if your roots are drying up. The soil in which you're growing up is all dried up. You cannot, you become a bonsai, you can't reach out, right? So where are you going to get this supernatural from? And where are you going to get this oil to keep our lamps filled from? You know, for the answer, I'd like to ask you to look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, you know, this little conversation that Jesus was actually having with the Samaritan woman at the well, right? They were having many complex theological and religious discussion, but this one bit here, I found quite interesting. Jesus answered this woman and says to her, whoever drinks of this water, referring to the water of the well, okay, the worldly water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. You never thirst. But the water I shall give him, this is what this water that Jesus gives us, right, will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. So what is the secret? Where are you going? You know, the secret is not, some people think that being Christian is trying harder, right? Now, I think it is good that we discipline ourselves, that we take responsibility, and we should try our best, right? At all times to be as good as we can be, right? But the reality of it is that our good efforts, our best efforts are actually insufficient to keep you running for the long term, right? You can do your best to love this unlovable person, okay? You grit your teeth and say, you know, I'm going to love this person. And you turn your cheek, let him slap one time, let him slap two times. I ask you how many times, how long can you keep going before you finally finish off the guy, right? Cannot. You want to go and love somebody, wow, this takes up a bit of time. Look, if all you have is two drops of water, even if you give everything to the other person, it's only two drops, and you have nothing left. You understand what I'm trying to say? Christianity is not just about us trying to be good people. That's just not going to work, alright? That's not going to work out. What we need to do is we need to actually go and drink from the stream of living water. Because that is going to fill us up. And some of us here today, maybe, you know, your tank is very, very, very low already. Maybe at some point you met Jesus and your life was just overflowing. But somehow since then, your tank has been running down and down and down. Friends, I want to tell you this. We got to allow, you know, the heavenly waterfall, spring, to water our soil. You have to be drinking from the living water in order that there's a spring gushing out from us. Some of us, because we live in a world that's very hard, right? In a world where your performance is never ever good enough. Sometimes we think that God also feels this way about us. By the way, that girl Tiffany who wrote that blog, she was a Christian. You know, she talks about Pastor Dan, not me, okay? I just say it's not me, but, you know, I'm thinking, wow, she's even in a Christian environment, right? And yet, you can dry up in that environment if sometimes we don't be careful about take the care of our souls. Today, I don't want to see anyone of us go dry. I don't want, and you know what? There's no reason for any of us to go dry. You know why? Because the spring of living water is free. It's free for you to drink. The only reasons why we might not do it is either we don't realize we are actually going dry. By the way, people who are running out, often they don't know. Why? Nothing wrong, right? I've been doing everything right. You know, they just don't see it themselves. People around them can see them that, oh, something is wrong with you, man. This guy is, you know, he's got all these thorns out there. You can't even go near this person. They are just nasty and unhappy all the time, right? If you are being watered, a different spirit will come from you. People who come near you will be like, wow, you know, just being near you, I get all this overflow of love and kindness. You know, this branch is reaching out. I think for many of us, we need to come back to that place and allow our Father to embrace us, to experience the warmth of His embrace. It is only when you feel the warmth of His embrace that you want to go out and embrace other people. You understand? Because, you know, there's a very funny thing about people who overachievers. I'm a bit of a, you know, overachiever myself. But You know, people who try very hard have a very bad habit. They will try very hard. They will be very strict. They will be very on time. They will make sure everything is done right. But they also will have this weird way of thinking of other people. They will think like this. If I can do it, you can also do it, right? Why can't you? If I can come on time, why can't you come on time? Right? Have you heard these kind of things before? Right? Some of it happens to all of us. If we are living under that kind of pressure cooker, you just think about what kind of tree you're going to be. Right? You're not going to be a very pleasant tree for people to take shelter in, correct? But if you are the person who's constantly experiencing the grace and mercy of God, right? You'll receive freely. Then you will be that kind of people, person to those people around you. So the key to being the kingdom of God is not just our human effort, as good as it can be. What it really needs is for every single one of us to truly experience the love of God. To hear God's voice saying, you know, I love you very much. To experience God's holding you, to know it not just emotionally, but to know, you know, actually God really loves me. And because God really loves you, you know, you're not operating out of poverty. You're not operating out of scarcity. Say, I don't have 2 drops. No. You don't have 2 drops. Open this tap here. You got as much living water as you can possibly receive, right? But the problem is sometimes we have become very dry. So this morning, what I really wanted to do is, I wanted to remind all of us to receive the love of God. To allow God to love you. Some of us, maybe we walk and we carry unnecessarily heavy loads of, you know, worldly condemnation and expectation, right? And we are just unhappy people all the time. Or maybe, even though we are strong, okay, I'm a Christian, even though I got this heavy burden on me, I'm going to smile, you know, right? And you do that successfully. Wow, I mean, good on you, right? But that's not the way to go. The way to go is to allow God's water, living water, to water your soil. When it does that, then your mustard seed can grow. You can become this miraculous tree that reaches out and touches other people. So today I want you to know this. God loves you. He doesn't only love you when you're good. Sometimes we tell God, God, you can't possibly. You know, I actually meet people who tell me, Pastor, I don't think God can love me. I have met people like this. And many people don't actually say it, but they think it. They think that, you know what, God, I know you love everybody, but maybe you love me a little bit less because, you know why? I fail. I disappoint you in so many ways. And I broke all these rules that you told me to do. I can't do it. I really can't do it. I tried my best, but I gave up. You know, you try for a little while, you give up, right? It's like diet, you know. You know, some of these diets you know, it's whether you die yet, you know, right? So you try and try. Then after 2 weeks, you quit. Then after a few months, you feel guilty, you try again. Your whole cycle of Christian life, or your diet life, is driven by guilt. That's not going to work very well. It won't keep you going for the long run. You want to go the long run. You want to go the whole way. You want to be like the 10 virgins got extra. You got to have the right kind of diet, right? And diet is the living water of God. So today, if you are thinking, I'm not good enough somehow, because, you know, I have this flaw, this imperfection. God is not OCD. Okay? God loves you as a father loves you. And father don't look at a son and a daughter and say, you know what? You didn't comb your hair properly today. I don't love you today. You know, it's not like this, okay? God loves us all the way. So today, you know, wherever you are in your life, I think it's important for us as Christians to receive the love of God. So will you receive the love of God, right? Because if you don't receive the love of God, then you cannot be the channel of God's love. You cannot be this mustard tree that touches you. You cannot. When you reach out, what comes out from your mustard tree? Chili sauce. Cannot. Nobody wants it. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? So I want you to take a few moments right now. Close your eyes. Not a very long sermon. Either that or I talk very fast this morning. Right? But why don't you just close your eyes for a moment, right? And these few moments of just you and God, I want you to hear. Just focus a little bit. I want you to hear the voice of your Father. Can you hear that? Can you hear the voice of your Father calling you? Loving you? Will you open your heart and allow His unlimited mercies that are new every morning, His love, just to pour into your life, wash away all the bitterness that you're carrying, all the hurts, pains, trying to live up to all kinds of human expectations, all your trying and unhappiness, your older brother syndrome, right? Will you just allow God's love to flow in your hearts, to water you, to see the seed of faith in your heart really grow? I mean, to really flourish in that. As you do that, you know, as you hear God tell you that He loves you very much, so much so that He sent His only Son to die for you, can you also ask yourself, is there someone that you can shoot out a branch to in your circle who just like you need a love, the love of God, a touch from God, a hand around the shoulder and saying, you know, God loves you. Things are not as bad as it could be. Is there someone in your circle that you can do this, alright? Maybe today, maybe this week, for you to be that tree, the kingdom of God. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you that, you know, in these simple parables, there's such depth of spirituality, teaching us to be more than just men and women who live for ourselves, but to be this great mustard tree that can only reach the heights that it's designed to be when we drink of the living water. This morning, God, we thank you that you love every one of us without exception in this room. Every single one of us, regardless of where we have come from or what we have done, because you are our Father. Father, I pray today, Lord, you will just pour out this divine, this heavenly waterfall of your love in our lives, so that as we go out from this place, we will be just overflowing with love, Lord. It will just fill up all the emptiness of our souls. It will fill up all the holes that lives has left, the potholes that life has left in our lives. It will heal the scars that we have accumulated over the years. Father, fill up our tanks today, Lord, so that you read full. And out of that fullness, help us, God, to love the world, Lord. Fill our lamps. Help us not to light the world, try to light the world on an empty lamp, Lord. Fill our lamps with oil. We thank you. We thank you all through this room for your love for every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. We'll stand up together as we sing this closing song.
There is a longing only you can fill. A raging tempest only you can still. My soul is thirsting, Lord, to know you as I'm known. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love. Sunrise, sunrise, I will see your face. Drawn by your Spirit to the promise of your grace. My heart is found in you, a hope that will abide. Here in your presence, forever satisfied. Take me deeper, deeper in love.
It's a lovely song, isn't it? And really, the desire and the longing of our hearts to be deeper in love with God, to experience His love deeply. You know, we'll turn to somebody and put your hand on their shoulder and tell them, God loves you, alright? With some feeling, okay? Right? And some of you, I see you standing all by yourself somewhere, okay? Especially you, God loves you, alright? Even though it seems that people around you may not be near enough, but God loves all of us. Amen? Amen. As we go from this place, Lord, we pray for your blessing. We pray, Lord, that we'll go out from this place with our hearts full, Lord. Full of your love, full of your grace, full of your mercy, full of your Spirit's empowerment, Lord. So that we can light the world. So that we can be this mustard tree, the kingdom of God that shoots out branches into the world to call the lost, to seek out the lost and the needy, and to love them with your love, not just with our own love. So Lord, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and always. Amen, amen. Service is over. Right, I'll see you all back next week.